All right, so this morning we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to have a little word fun. Normally we don't encourage you to shout out and yell out in the service, but today we are. So we're going to play a little game today, and we're going to see just how much you know, how familiar you are with these terms. So we're going to do something, and we're going to use something called a collocation. If you said, never heard of it, that's okay, neither have I. A collocation is, in linguistics, is simply a pair of connected words that usually appear in the same order. So I'm going to say a word, you're going to say the word that instantly is affixed to that, which makes it a collocation. Feel free to yell it out. You can stand up if you want. We don't care. It's carte blanche today. So here we go. We ready? The first two are easy. I say potato, you say? Well done. Did someone say chip, by the way? Yeah, okay. Lisa, good job. All right, here we go. I knew somebody was going to do that. All right, so now we're rolling. I say tomato, you say? That one's easy. All right. This one's a little tougher. I say cloak, you say? Well done. Good job, guys. All right, this one's easy. I say huffing, you say? Wow, you're good. All right. I think this one's hard. I say null, you say? Did anybody say void? Did somebody say, yeah, well done. Okay, good. All right. I thought that one was going to be okay. All right, here's one. This is easy. I say prim, you say, well done. Good job. I say ranting, you say, I say discipline, you say, exactly. There you go. It's hard, isn't it? It's hard to find one word that matches discipline. Prim and proper is easy. Ranting, raving's easy. Discipline, you say, I don't know. Is there a collocation for discipline? Is there a word that we can affix to discipline? You see, at the end of the day, when we say discipline, we might think, we may say spank, we may say threaten, we may say punish, we may say ground. So I'm going to scare every single parent that's in this church today. You're going to be absolutely terrified when I make this announcement. We just spent the past 3 days disciplining your children. Worries you, doesn't it? Now you're thinking, did they spank him? Did they ground them? Did they threaten them? No, none of the above. But we did discipline them. And hopefully, we can explain to you, and hopefully you'll get a better explanation and understanding of what Christian discipline is. So what is discipline? Well, we're going to look at it from a different angle today, because I think, as we can see by our collocation exercise, there's just not one word that perfectly describes it. Rather, I think there's a lot of words that go into it. I'm going to share a story today that was written by Alice Gray. It's called The Treasure, and I'm going to see if we can find the discipline in this story. Here's what she says. The cheerful girl with bouncy golden curls was almost five. Waiting with her mother at the checkout stand, she saw them, a circle of glistening white pearls in a pink foil box. Oh, please, Mommy, please, can I have them, please, Mommy? Quickly, the mother checked the back of the little foil box, then looked back into the pleading blue eyes of her little girl's upturned face. $1.95, that's almost $2. If you really want them, I'll think of some extra chores for you, and in no time, you can save enough money to buy them for yourself. Your birthday is only a week away, and you might get another crisp dollar bill from Grandma. Well, as soon as little Jenny got home, she emptied her penny bank and counted out 17 pennies. After dinner, she did more than her share of chores and then went to the neighbor and asked Mrs. McJames if she could pick dandelions for 10 cents. On her birthday, Grandma did give her another new dollar bill, and at last, she had enough money to buy the new necklace. Jenny loved her pearls. They made her feel dressed up and grown up. She wore them everywhere, Sunday school, kindergarten, even to bed. The only time she took them off was when she went swimming or had a bubble bath, because Mother said if they got wet, they might turn her neck green. Jenny had a very loving daddy, and every night when she was ready for bed, he would stop whatever he was doing and come upstairs and read her a story. One night when he finished the story, he asked Jenny, "Do you love me?" "Oh, yes, Daddy, you know that I love you." "Then give me your pearls." "Oh, Daddy, not my pearls. You can have Princess, the white horse from my collection, the one with the pink tail, remember, Daddy, the one you gave me? She's my favorite." "That's okay, honey. Daddy loves you. Good night." And he brushed her cheek with a kiss. About a week later, after story time, Jenny's daddy asked again, "Jenny, do you love me?" "Daddy, you know that I love you." "Then give me your pearls." "Oh, Daddy, not my pearls. You can have my baby doll, the brand new one I got for my birthday. She's so beautiful, you can even have the yellow blanket that matches her sleeper. That's okay. Sleep well. God bless you, little one. Daddy loves you. And as always, he brushed her cheek with a gentle kiss. A few nights later, when her daddy came in, Jenny was sitting on her bed with her legs crossed Indian style. As he came close, he noticed that her chin was trembling and one silent tear rolling down her cheek. "What is it, Jenny? What's the matter?" Jenny didn't say anything, but lifted her hand up carefully to her daddy. And when she opened it, there was her little pearl necklace. And with a little quiver, she finally said, "Here, Daddy, it's for you." With tears gathering in his own eyes, Jenny's kind daddy reached out with one hand to take the dime store necklace, and with the other hand, he reached into his pocket and pulled out a blue velvet case with a strand of genuine pearls and gave them to Jenny. He had them all the time. He was just waiting for her to give up the dime store stuff so he could give her genuine treasure. As Alice Gray says, so like our Heavenly Father. Now, you might be asking, why did he share this? I mean, little Jenny wasn't spanked. She wasn't grounded. She wasn't punished. She wasn't threatened. But here's what we know. Based on this story, believe it or not, little Jenny was disciplined. How was she disciplined? How in the world would we define discipline by that story? You see, sadly and strangely, many don't understand that word discipline. So we're going to define it. And we're going to do it from a biblical perspective, which essentially is going to be a godly perspective. Then we're going to look at it from a parental perspective, which sometimes can be a secular perspective. The Illustrated Dictionary of the Bible is where we're going to begin. It defines discipline as the training, instruction, and control of individuals. The Dictionary of Christian Theology, rather similarly, says this about discipline. It calls it the Christian way of life as prescribed by the church or faith. It is the rules, regulations, practices, duties, and way of life of a holy order or tradition. Now we talk about some synonyms that match up with this word discipline. It implies concepts such as discipleship, learner, faithfulness, education, training, service, mission, believer, obedience, reverence, commitment, devotion, and dedication. I say discipline, you might say all of them, and you'd be right. There's just too many words. You see, discipline takes on so many forms, but in many ways we get pigeonholed into thinking that discipline is only punishment. That discipline means that I'm only going to have to threaten my kid, ground my kid, spank my kid without teaching or instructing or helping our kids. A more secularized definition of discipline is a, quote, system of rules governing conduct, or to train, develop, punish, penalize, or control through those aforementioned rules. Regarding all of those aforementioned words and definitions, when we see that word discipline, we must understand that that word represents, with regards to all these words, it represents all of them. But here's one thing we can agree upon. I say discipline, you say, I don't know that there is one, but there is something we can agree on. Discipline must always start when we are young. You see, I'm a root word guy. I was an English minor in college, and so I remember all the root words. We had to know the root words. And the root word of discipline, if you're an English guy or girl, and the root word is disciple. And that's a good word. In Scripture, that's a good word. Because we know that a disciple is this. When I say disciple, we would say something like this. We would say pupil, learner, or scholar. A disciple is one who wants to learn. And so when we look at that side of it, the positive side of discipline is this. It is instruction, it is knowledge, and it is training. So we can see that that dad with little Jenny trained her, instructed her, and gave her knowledge of something that she may never have known. And here it is, that her father had something better if she would only love him and trust him. It's a message for all of us. You see, we've been disciplined simply by that story, trained and taught by that story to trust in our Heavenly Father who has something better for all of us. Every day, Christian men and women are disciplined by their Heavenly Father, taught and trained to know that there might be something better for all of us, that He will watch out for us, that He has the best intentions for each and every one of us. Someone once said that the cure of crime is not in the electric chair, but rather in the high chair. God's holy word substantiates that claim. In fact, Proverbs 22:6 says this, "Teach a child to choose the right path, and when he is older, he will remain upon it." Parents, when you said, "I'm going to bring my kids to vacation Bible school in a small town that nobody knows about," here's what you said. When you said that, you said, "I believe that my kids should be taught and trained in an environment that's conducive to their growth." Proverbs 23:13-14, "Don't fail to correct your children. Discipline won't hurt them. Punish him with the rod and save his soul from death." My dad exemplified that passage. Proverbs 19:18, "Discipline your son in his early years while there is hope. If you don't, you will ruin his life." Proverbs 10:17, "He who heeds discipline shows the way to life, but whoever ignores correction leads others astray." I love this one, Proverbs 29:17, "Discipline your son and he will give you happiness and peace of mind." And I know that every single parent that's gathered here today would say, we would love to know that our children are going to bring us happiness and peace of mind. And lastly, Proverbs 12:1 from the NIV, New International Version, says, "Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid." That's the NIV. They actually use the word stupid. And so, by the way, those are strong words. And those are strong words for all of us Christians, for all of us parents who believe in discipline. See, as we can see, the Christian doctrine of discipline is found as many as 30 times in God's Word. But just because God's Word says it doesn't always mean that we like it. Why not? Because just as there is a positive side of discipline, and I think most people, I know our kids would agree, you know what, if you're going to give me knowledge, training, and instruction, I'll take that discipline. But then there's the negative side of discipline, right? And that negative side looks like reproof and punishment and correction. And these forms of discipline should also start when we are young. This type of discipline was also seen in God's Word. Sadly and usually, it was given out to God's disobedient people. In fact, those people, they didn't hear it and they didn't heed it when they were young. In Deuteronomy 8:5, Moses is reminding God's people of their disobedience and their subsequent wilderness wanderings and the death that occurred during those wilderness wanderings that spanned 40 long years. And Moses tells them, he says, "Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord disciplines you." They didn't listen. They didn't listen. So God ultimately ended up sending them his discipline. And that discipline was bad. Now many would look at that and say, that's a negative side of discipline. If you read the Old Testament through, and we've done it many times, and you study the accounts of what happened with the Old Testament Israelites, you'll realize they didn't listen. And the punishment was severe. And it was extreme, and it was bad. Now, in many cases, we don't understand just how severe and extreme and bad that really is. You see, when we look at what they suffered through, defeat, death, persecution, exile, slavery, and destruction, we realize that it was up to God to give them discipline because he didn't want to lose his people. He still loved his people. Now, many people would look at this and they would say, well, this is mean. This is wrong. I mean, God did this to his people? But we know he did this to his people for a reason, because he loved his people. And he wanted his people to love and honor and respect him. Parents, is it any different with us? Don't we want our children to love and honor and respect us? Don't we want our children to love and follow Jesus? You see, this is sadly how many would look at the definition of discipline. For example, let me tell you this. Someone once said, parents who are afraid to put their foot down have children who step on their toes. Pretty true, right? I'm going to make a promise to you. God will never, ever let his children step on his toes. He won't do it, and he won't allow it. Because with regards to his people, he loves them. And he believes in discipline. But many people look at this godly form of discipline, they say, he's just mean. They look at God and they have this entirely wrong image of God. They see him standing on his throne, and they see him saying, you, I will punish you, I will destroy you, because I don't love you. And it's the wrong image of God. And I don't think our kids look at us as parents that way. If they do, you may want to change your discipline. But I think in many ways we look at God that way and we say that's the only way he disciplines. When I say discipline, and especially when it comes to godly discipline, I would hope that we would say he trains us, teaches us, instructs us, sometimes has to punish us because he loves us. And it's the same way with the kids that live with us. This is the same thing. God's knowledge and training and instruction are also seen in his punishment, reproof, and correction. It's all discipline. You know, when I was in grade school, we had a principal that moved. He came in, 1 year, came in. I love the guy. Young guy, athletic, which, of course, was right up my alley. And this was the only principal I can ever remember that would come out onto the playground, play kickball, football, baseball, and foursquare with us. I thought it was the coolest thing ever. He'd always take his tie and he'd tuck it in his shirt, and he'd come out there and he would get it on. And we used to love it. Like, man, we got to beat the principal today. And I thought that was the coolest thing. Now, I liked this principal. I saw a man who cared about children. However, others in my classroom, in my grade, in my school, and certainly some parents, saw a man who hung his paddle. And when I say paddle, it looked like an oar on the Titanic. And he hung his paddle in his office. Many thought to scare and intimidate the children. And I mean, you'd see the paddle. The first thing you'd see when you walked in the office was the paddle. And he made no mistake when he wanted to let people know that he was serious about how he was going to discipline them. Now, if you got along with him, if you were obedient, you had no problem with him. But if something went wrong, you had to deal with the paddle that would be wielded by him. You see, I saw a tough disciplinarian. I saw a man who disciplined by instruction. They saw a man who lived by threatening and punishment. So when God says discipline, what do we say? Here's an example. A school teacher injured his back, and he had to wear a plaster cast around the upper part of his body. It fit under his shirt, was not noticeable at all. On the first day of the term of school, with the cast under his shirt, he found himself assigned to the toughest students in the school. Walking confidently into the rowdy classroom, he opened the window as wide as possible and then busied himself with desk work. When a strong breeze blew through the window and made his tie flap, he took the desk stapler and stapled the tie to his chest. Discipline was never a problem from that day on. I want to think maybe my principal did this too. I don't know. All right, here's one more. A student was an extreme disciplinarian problem, was failing in school miserably. So at a conference the school held with his parents, it was decided that the lad might be better off in a parochial school. The parents agreed to try one, and they did. Well, it turns out that the kid was a model student in every way. When the parents asked the lad why this school seemed so much more agreeable to him than the other, he simply replied, "When I first walked into the school, I saw some guy nailed to a cross, and I figured that this school really meant business." And that's how the Christian schools grow. God is in the discipline business, whether we like it or not, and sometimes we don't like it. God is in the discipline business, and he expects us to not only understand why he does it and how he does it, but also to see what ultimately should come from it. In essence, we benefit. Now, many of us would say, I don't feel like I benefit when God punishes me. I don't like when he corrects me. But we realize that he does it because he loves us. And we need to say, God, I want this. That's difficult. In addition, parents, the question we might ask ourselves today with regards to discipline, are we willing to do it? George Orwell once said, human beings want to do good, but not too good, and not quite all the time. We're lawbreakers. We are mistake makers. We are advantage takers. We need discipline, and God gives it. I'm going to look at our sermon text for today. It comes from Hebrews 12, 4 through 11. We are going to read from the New International Version. No, it's not going to say stupid. It won't. Not this passage. So here we go. Let's get started. You'll see it on the screen. Open your Bibles if you brought them. Here's what this passage says. In your struggle against sin, You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. We say discipline. God says, I do it because I love them. It's the reason he disciplines us. It's the reason that he rebukes and chastens and trains us. Hebrews 5, or verses 5, 6, and 12 of our sermon text that's found in Hebrews. You see, the doctrine of Christian discipline is and will always be about love. We discipline our children because we love them. God disciplines his children because he loves us and because we've said as Christians, we love his son, Jesus. Pastor Tony Evans shares this actual account. This actually happened to him. He says, once I got suspended from school in the eighth grade for fighting. Some boy messed with my fried chicken. They served fried chicken for lunch. This boy took a piece out of my plate. They had to call my father from his job. Now, my father worked by the hour, which meant he had to punch out to come see why his son, the preacher's kid, had gotten kicked out of school. He went to the school and came to the principal's office where I sat waiting. I'll never forget my father's face as he listened to the story of how I came to get in trouble. I'll also never forget my father's response. He told the principal, sir, you will never, ever, ever have to worry about my son ever being suspended from this school ever again. As we walked out, he said to me, Tony Evans, do you know how much this visit cost me? I'm going to take the payment out on you. Even though I was disciplined, he still fed me. Even though I was disciplined, says Evans, he still clothed me. Even though I was disciplined, there was still a roof over my head. And even though I did something to irritate him, he was my daddy, and he was tenaciously committed to me. Tony Evans would admit, my father loved me. Our heavenly father loves us. And that is exactly why he disciplines us. Revelation 3:19, which is a powerful, powerful passage, folks, with regards to what might be a prophecy regarding the coming church. Jesus, these are Jesus' words as shared by John, and this is what John says. Using Jesus' words, he says, I continually discipline and punish everyone I love, so I must punish you, unless you turn from your indifference and become enthusiastic about the things of God. My question is, why don't we love and accept God's discipline? Why do we fight it? Why don't we want it? I can remember when I was a kid, and I can remember when I did a lot of things wrong, and I can remember having to face my mother's discipline was a lot easier than my father's discipline. My mother's discipline was teaching, training, and instruction. My father's discipline was much different. I won't need to go into much detail regarding that. But I remember thinking, Mom, you discipline me. Dad, you go back out to the field. Didn't always work that way. Why don't we want it? Here's why we don't want it. Because at the end, folks, and it's very simple, man prefers sin. We like it. We'd rather say, I'd rather sin than get discipline. It's just that simple. You see, in the Revelation 3:19 passage, the church of Laodicea was a lukewarm church. It was neither hot nor cold. And so Jesus, through John, says, I'll spit you out. Because basically, man says this, I'll do a little bit of church, I'll do a little bit of God stuff, but I'm not going to do all the stuff because I'd rather be involved in sin. It's the way man's wired. It's how we will always be wired. But here's what's interesting. When we say, God, I want you to discipline me because I love your son, something happens within us when we love Jesus. We then start to say, you know what? I need discipline, because we see our own sin. Our sin and God's love starts when we are young, in age and in faith. What do we know about Eli and Samuel's sons, Wednesday nighters? We've been studying that for some time. You're probably thinking right now, uh-oh, we got to go through this again. This was bad. What do we know about them? What do they have in common? 1 Samuel 2, 12 through 36, 1 Samuel 8, 1 through 3 tells us that all of them were evil, unrepentant sinners. Now, what did Eli and Samuel do to them? Well, we know this. We know because they were dads and fathers and priests. We know they loved them. What didn't they do? They never disciplined them. They never did. So God had to step in. Eli was a priest. Samuel was a priest. They should have known better. They should have known if they didn't do it, it was going to be done by their heavenly Father. And he did it. Verses 10 and 11 of our sermon text says this: they, our human fathers, disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, here it comes, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Now, those are important words, because this is what God says. You see, this is what's important today. God says, I really don't care how you feel in this world. Rather, I want to make sure that when you leave this world, you're with me. And if you're going to be with me, you're going to have to be holy. And you're going to have to be righteous, and you're going to have to be good, and we can do nothing about it. Because man loves sin. And the only way that we can ever get to heaven is through his discipline, which teaches us and trains us to be holy and good and righteous. And it can't be done by us. It's only done through Jesus. A lot of people say, I'll just work my way to heaven. If I do enough good deeds, I'll get to heaven. I can tell you right now, it ain't going to happen. Probably, we need to be reminded of that daily, and we need to be disciplined. So let me ask you this, parents. Don't we want holiness and righteousness and goodness and peace for our kids? I don't need to be friends with my kids. I have enough friends. They're not my buddies. They're not my pals. They're just not. Maybe when I'm older, that'll happen. We'll probably end up playing golf together and playing games together, but for now, I don't need to be their friends. I need to be their disciplinarian. I need to be their leader, their instructor, their teacher, their trainer, and their father. And I will love them unconditionally, because here's what I want. I want my kids, my daughters, to grow up and be good and righteous and holy. And the only way to do this is to fully indoctrinate them with Jesus. And when you parents decided, I'm going to bring my kids to VBS, you made a proclamation. You didn't know it. You may have just said, I'm going to get them out of the house for 2.5 hours. We get it. But here's what happened. When you did it, you said this. You said, you know what? Something good might come from this. And every chance we get to be exposed to Jesus, something good will definitely come from it. Do we want this for our kids? God's doctrinal word of Christian discipline teaches us that when we accept this, that we can have holiness and righteousness and goodness and peace. Someone once called the Bible the greatest love story ever shared. I don't disagree. You see, God wants that love story to end with his children with him in heaven for eternity. We have to be disciplined to be with him. So too, we must discipline our children so that we will be with them. I oftentimes will tell my girls, I'll say, and in fact, this happens at night a lot. Jillian is unfazed by it. Jada is the sobbing mess. She's the emotional one. And I say, girls, I'm not always going to be here. My goal is to prepare you so that we'll all be together up there. Jillian's like, I get it, Dad. Jada's like, Jillian obviously will be in charge of my funeral. No doubt about it. But this is what I know. I know, based on what God's word says, that we have to know how much he loves us and how much he wants to live with us in eternity. Listen to this. This is a poem that was shared in the Missouri Counselor. It goes like this. I have seed to raise, and I plow the field, and I plant my crops with care. And I thank the Lord for the rain that he sends as I watch them growing there. But I don't sit down with a book by day and let my crops run wild, for crops won't grow by themselves, I know. Is it different with a child? I have a boy to raise, and I want a man when his growing days are done. And a man must work for the crop he seeks. Is it different with a son? Will strangers care for my wheat out there when the weeds grow rank and wild? If my crop would shrink if I idled here, dare I idle with my child? Yes, I'll work for him. I'll pray for him. I'll do the best I can. For the Lord has given me a son to raise, and I want to raise a man. Yes, my eyes are set on the harvest years when the long, hard task is done. So I'll pull the weeds from the life myself, for I dare not shirk my son. Why do we discipline? Why does God discipline? Because he and we want to see discipleship in our children. We and he want goodness, righteousness, holiness, and peace among his and among our children. So to be a disciple, you got to be disciplined. The word discipline comes, as we said earlier, from the root word disciple. The title of disciple is given to those who subscribe to the Christian doctrine of discipline. Can you imagine, folks, can you imagine for a moment if you can look at your kids when you're nearing the end of your life and they say, tell me about your kids, and you say, I'm so proud of them. They did great jobs. They got great jobs. They have great families. They've raised a wonderful, wonderful house. They've done so many good things. And at the end of the day, though, you say, you know what? The thing I'm most proud of is the fact that they're disciples in Jesus. The fact that they teach others about Jesus. The fact that my kids can lead others to Jesus. That's what we should want. Especially when we talk about this. Proverbs 13:1, a wise child loves discipline. Do we say, God, discipline me, rebuke me, correct me, punish me, train me? It's hard to do. Are we as Christian parents willing to give it to our kids and receive it from God? King David never disciplined his son Adonijah, 1 Kings 1, verse 6, and the result was tragic, 1 Kings 2, verse 8. What is our fate? What is our children's fate if we fail them in spiritual, biblical, doctrinal discipline? The author of Lamentations, probably Jeremiah, says this in Lamentations 3, 27 through 33. He says, it's good for a young man to be under discipline, for it causes him to sit apart in silence beneath the Lord's demands, to lie face downward in the dust. Then at last there is hope for him. Let him turn the other cheek to those who strike him and accept their awful insults, for the Lord will not abandon him forever. Although God gives him grief, yet he will show compassion too, according to the greatness of his loving kindness, for he does not enjoy afflicting men and causing sorrow. Let me tell you something. I hate, capital H, hate punishing my daughters. Hate it. I'd rather do anything. Anything. Yeah, I hate it. But I got to do it. I got to do it. And I always tell them, this hurts me more than it does you. There's nothing that I would rather do than make my kids happy, let them smile, see them frolicking and playing and enjoying themselves. And when I have to punish them, ground them, threaten them, used to be spank them, it was tough. Tough. And I'd go into a place, it was a dark place because I didn't like it. But I see what has happened because of it. I see two girls who said, Dad, we just want to serve in the church. We want to work in the church. We just love being in the church. And I look at it and I think, it was worth it. But it doesn't end. It doesn't end. So we'll continue to discipline. You see, I know that discipline is more than punishment. That gives me hope. Because for those few short times that I've had to punish them, all of the time, I teach them and train them and instruct them. You see, discipline is rebuking and chastening and training and teaching and loving and instructing. And did I say loving? Look at Ephesians 6:4. Paul says, and now a word to you parents. Don't keep on scolding and nagging your children, making them angry and resentful. It's as if Paul is suggesting that will not make them disciples. Rather, Paul says, bring them up with a loving discipline the Lord himself approves, with suggestions and godly advice. Have you ever disciplined your child and then stopped loving him or her? No, 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 no. Rather, we love them more because we've had to rebuke them emotionally to help them grow spiritually. Jesus tells us in Matthew 28:19 to go and make disciples in all the nations. It starts in our homes. It starts when they are young, and it is done by Christian parents who have experienced God's perfect discipline. God's doctrine of discipline is founded on love. It is written in His Word, and it is being taught to all of His children who are willing to be disciplined. It is more than punishment and reproof and correction and training and knowledge and instruction. It is love, and it is learned, and it must be lived, and it must be given every day to our children as God gives it to His children every day out of love. I say discipline. You say what? We made it through VBS, folks. I return your children to you. Well done. And by the way, you have great children. You have great children. We loved your kids. We loved spending time with your kids. It was a pleasure and a treat. And for our volunteers, they would admit it. It meant the world to them. Thank you for what you've done for your children, to your children, to benefit your children. We are grateful. Now we as God's children say, teach us, train us, instruct us, God. Lead us to your Son, Jesus. If you have special prayer requests, now is the time to bring them forward. You can drop them off right there at the altar. You can put them in the offering plate. You can give them to me, however you want to do it. We're going to have a time of prayer today. I want to give you one quick announcement. Many of you might know Debbie Haney Kath. I've got to share this quick story. Debbie Haney Kath was in our church for many years. Debbie Haney Kath was diagnosed with leukemia. This one of the most severe and rare cases of leukemia anybody's ever seen. They gave her 3 months, 3 months when she was diagnosed. I went to see her in January. They essentially said it might just be 2 weeks. It was absolutely amazing that when I left and thought this might be it, but I know Debbie Haney Kath, I know her husband Gary, and they're fighters. Debbie Haney Kath is still with us. She's gone way past the 3 months. She just got a report back. The cancer has been reduced. Last time 40%, it's now down to 20%. It's leaving. The doctor said, we can't explain it. Whatever you're doing, just keep doing it. We are under God's discipline. He loves us. He cares about us. He heals us. Today we have Stacy O'Hara with us. Stacy, we've been praying for you. We've seen healing with you. We've seen comfort for you. Folks, this is what this church does. It is indeed the church that cares. Feel free to join us here at the altar for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we celebrate these victories. These are answered prayers. We can't do anything for it. We don't do anything with it. It's you. You that hears these prayers and answers these prayers and helps these individuals according to your perfect will. And I pray that we will literally face you more in prayer. I pray that we will spend more time in prayer, and I pray that we will trust you to help these individuals and deliver these individuals who are on our prayer list. Heal them, bless them, be with them, I pray. And I pray that you will give them hope, because you are indeed the author of hope. I thank you for what has been accomplished in this church through our wonderful volunteers and everybody who willingly sacrificed their lives and their time to dedicate that time to these children. I thank you for your discipline. I thank you for how you teach us and train us and instruct us through your written word. And I pray today that we will long to live by and know your written word. I pray that you'll help us to see that we need you. We can't do this on our own, and we know it. And so I pray that you will make us the people that you want us to be, righteous, holy, good in every single way. And I pray that we will trust in Jesus to make us that way. I pray today that you will guide us and bless us through every day of our lives, and especially as we rear our children. I pray that you'll bless them, keep them safe, and help them in everything that they do, and give us wisdom as parents to know how to discipline our children properly. And I pray that we will use your word as reference. To our missionaries and every single person that works for you and with you, I pray that you will fill them with the Holy Spirit. The threat that is out there every day for us Christian workers is severe. And I just pray that we will not cower, but rather that we will stand strong, encouraged, trusting in the Holy Spirit to deliver us and help us to disseminate this great message of love that you have for everyone. Help us to understand what it takes to get to heaven. It's not by our works. We can't get there by our works. But I pray that we will trust in your word, and I pray that we will believe in you, trust in you, love you, and each day live for you, so that one day we as an entire family of individuals can be with you. And I thank you for this time of worship that you give us. Today we are grateful, and we say thank you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Let us stand up and sing a song. I'm guessing you're going to hear the stampede of kids making their way through. One of my girls' favorites. Here's Christian Stanfill. When you say love, there you go. That's why we do it, folks. That's why we do it, especially as parents. We love our children, and God loves His children. And that song exemplifies that. So, this is what we know. We know as long as we have life on this earth, we'll love our children, we'll discipline our children, and we'll say this, God, I need your discipline. And that's what we ask for and hope for today. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for these parents. I thank you for their commitment, and I thank you for all that they do for their wonderful children. And again, thank you for loving us and saying we can be your children. This we're grateful for. And I pray today that we will long for your discipline, that we won't want to love sin, that you'll move us from that place to a place of repentance, that we'll say, we don't want to go back to that place anymore. And I pray today that we would trust in Jesus each and every day to help us to live in the way that you want us to live. Thank you for this day of worship that you've given us. It doesn't end here, rather it just starts here. Help us to go back to our homes and help us to continue our worship to you. When we go into our workplaces tomorrow, help us, I pray, to worship you. And I pray that everyone who sees us and meets us would see this godly discipline inside of us. And I ask this according to your will. Thank you for everything you give us. It's in Jesus' holy name that we pray. Amen. Have a great day, everyone.